Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you would give us together here and hear another portion of thy word. Sing songs, praise your great name, Lord. Be with us as we go through this service. May everything we do be according to thy will. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Birthdays.
You got one.
Good.
Daughter-in-law and a great-grandson.
Keep
coming.
Connie Williams passed away, and I haven't talked to the family, but I will get a hold of Tracy this afternoon and see if she wants the church to have their meal afterwards or what they need for us to do, and I will pass the word through Facebook or call you, whatever. So that's all I have.
Well, you know now that Connie Williams has passed away, and at least at the time I printed these, arrangements had not been made yet, and I haven't heard anything yet. So watch the news for their funeral arrangements. And there is one name I failed to put on the, two names I failed to put on the prayer list. One is Betty McClure, a friend of many of you in the church. She's having back surgery on Friday. We seem to have a lot of folks with back pain, but it's not a fun thing. And also, Ryan Montgomery is, I think, scheduled for back surgery also. He had back surgery, but it's come back to give him more problems, so he will be dealing with that. And those are the names I know of for the prayer list, other than the ones that are printed. Next Sunday, we will have some special music by somebody besides me. And I know that'll bring a smile to your face. His name is Elijah Stidham, and he is a young man who's a nephew of Sherry Orange. So look forward to that next Sunday. Today, we have a Gideon speaker, and that means that he is part of a large organization of men who make it their business to pass out Bibles, distribute Bibles, whenever and wherever they can. And this is a large movement, and they're helping to do the work of the church. So once a year they come and bring us up to date on what they've been doing, and we take an offering to help with their work. The offering will be taken separately from the church offering. as you leave today, you're given the opportunity to give as you leave the church. And I think that's all the announcements. Our speaker will be Norman Klein, who is a new Gideon. And we're looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Now, you've all heard this saying, there is no I in team. In sports, success depends on teammates working together. Companies involve their employees in team-building exercises. In the church, God put us together to help and encourage one another. We're stronger when we work together. But when it comes to our salvation, the story is entirely different. This is one place where teamwork doesn't apply. There's only one who can accomplish what none of us could. The Apostle Paul wrote these words, "For there is one God, there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." Jesus alone is our mediator. In our communion time, we remember the price he paid for our ransom, and we honor that price in these emblems of his body and his blood. He stands between us and God, our representative before the God of all creation. The only one who can do that. Let's remember him together.
Church service this morning. Lord, we live in such a fast-paced world that we go through each week probably not giving you enough credit for everything that you do and provide for us. But as we come to this table now, Lord, we should slow down and think about what really matters when our life is finished here on earth. And that is to have salvation, forgiveness for sins. And we realize it took your only begotten Son for us to have that opportunity. And we are grateful for you providing that for us. And as we lift this cup and partake of this bread, we do so with gratitude for what you did for us. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we give back a portion of what you've given to us, Lord, we pray that you would bless it, Lord, bless the gift and the giver. Lord, we're truly thankful. So many times we tell you of earthly things that we're thankful for, and you do watch over us, Lord, and give us earthly things. But Lord, today we want to thank you for salvation, Lord. The Bible made it clear, Lord, without your intervention, we would all be headed to hell. But you sent your Son to give his life so that we may be reconciled to you, Lord, that we may have a heaven, Lord. And today we just want to pour our thanks out for you loving us that much to redeem us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Invite you to join in singing with us, starting with hymn number 516, I Love to Tell the Story. Let's turn next to number 449 and sing, Take My Life and Let It Be. Now this has six verses, but it's just a short song. So let's sing all six. Then let's turn to number 371 and sing as our prayer hymn, God is so good. Heavenly Father, when we first become parents, we wish there were an instruction manual for new parents. When we marry, we are uncertain just how to share life with another person. But you've not left us uncertain about how to live our lives on this earth. You've given your word, not only to help us know how to live on earth, but even more important, to help us know how to live forever. You've prepared a place for us to spend eternity with you. You've given the scriptures to explain how it can happen through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray, Lord, that you'll grant Brother Klein clarity of thought and a fervent spirit as he shares with us today. We thank you for the work of the Gideons and for their urgency in trying to see that your word is available to all who will treasure it and obey it. Please undergird their efforts with our gifts and our prayers. We know the gospel is your power of salvation for all who surrender to the one who suffered, died, and rose again to save us all. And so we offer this prayer in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. How to introduce someone you just met? Well, Norman Klein is a new member of the Gideon Society, and he's accompanied here by a gentleman we've all met before, because he's been here with the Gideons a number of times. And I'd just like to invite Brother Klein to come and share with us something about the Gideons.
I'm a Satanist. I follow Lord Satan. That's what the young university student yelled at a team of Gideons who were handing out testaments at a college in Mexico City, in Mexico. He had taken a testament before knowing what he'd been given, and he became enraged when he found out just what he had been handed. Shouting and taunting the men, finally telling them that he would show them just what he thought of their little book. He reached in his pocket and pulled out a cigarette lighter and tried to set it on fire. Try as he might, the testament would not ignite. He tried for several minutes, but it just would not burn. Finally, the student quieted down and soon became afraid. He'd never seen anything like this before. So, he left, only to return about 15 minutes later to apologize to the men, saying that he realized that this must be a supernatural book. The men began to witness and share the gospel with him from the back of the book. And before he left that morning, that young man, who was a follower of Satan, prayed to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But the story doesn't end there. While all of this was going on, three other young men were sitting off in the distance watching. And after the former Satanist had left, they came up to the Gideons and asked, "Well, what's going on? This guy's a well-known Satanist, and it looked like he was praying." Well, the Gideons explained to him what happened and shared the plan of salvation with these young men out of the back of the book. And all three prayed that morning to accept Christ as their Savior. Folks, that's what the Gideons... That's why the Gideons serve, to see people turn their lives to Christ. Some of you may remember this. In March of 1966, during an interview, John Lennon of the Beatles made the outrageous comment that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ. Well, sadly, that may have been the case for that generation. But it sparked massive outrage, protests, and record burnings in Christian communities across the United States. I remember it very well. I had three older sisters that were crazy about the Beatles. You know, but what John Lennon did not know is that what the enemy might use for evil, God will turn to good. Since 1966, folks, the Gideons International has distributed 2.4 billion, with a B, billion Bibles and New Testaments. Take that, Satan. Who's more popular? Jesus Christ, amen. So, for many of you, when you hear the name Gideon, so you probably think about this little Bible right here that you may find in the nightstand drawer of your hotels. But the Gideon's International is so, so much more. Since our founding in 1899, our main objective has been to win others to Christ, helping Christian business and professional men strengthen their professional testimony, their personal testimonies, and increase their influence for Christ in their homes, workplaces, and churches. As a natural outgrowth of maturing in Christ and strengthening our testimonies, we and our wives place Bibles in many of the designated traffic lanes of life. Places like hotels, hospitals, and nursing homes. We also give testaments to students in schools, to colleges, to prisoners, to police and fire and medical personnel, as well as men and women in the military. Our men and their wives are encouraged to share the gospel at least once a week using these testaments that have 34 helps for life in the front and the plan for salvation in the back. God is at work through the Gideon's International. Today, we are organized in some 200 countries, territories, and possessions, with scriptures published in more than 100 languages. Amen. We are unique in that our members live and work in the communities that they serve. We're not missionaries that are sent to other countries or other states. Our members actually live and work there. We get to know the folks that we're serving. I am proud to say that we now have over 200,000 members worldwide. Amen. And in a world where so many are searching for hope, the Gideons believe the answer is found in Jesus Christ, and that introducing people to Him through God's Word can change everything. So, as Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. In fact, the Gideons around the world are going to places that you might be surprised to learn about. Let me share with you one instance from Peru. This is the true story of a well-known witch doctor in a small village in northern Peru. And while he was in his hut one day, a mangy old dog came running in out of the rain with a little blue testament in his mouth, just shaking and wagging at him. And once the man wrangled the book from the dog's mouth and saw what it was, he began reading. And he began reading about the sin of idolatry. As he read, he began to sense that something was missing from his life. He wanted to know what that was. Somehow, he was able to find the original owner of that book and ask the man to explain to him what it meant. So, the man shared God's amazing love and forgiveness with him, and the witch doctor accepted Christ right then and there, and then went on to lead his whole family to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, there is redemptive power in God's Word, and His miracles happen every day. The Gideons are also very active here in the U.S., sharing testaments with college students, some of which will be our future leaders. Randy Bork was one such college student. He was attending the College of Brockport in New York, Brockport College in New York, and was on his way to a pub bright and early one morning when a Gideon approached him and offered him a pocket testament. Well, he accepted one just to get the man to leave him alone, stuffed it in his back pocket, and went on to the pub to have whatever libation he may have been in search of that morning. Months went by, and the young man found himself rock bottom. So he found that little pocket testament and began reading. And when he got to the back of it and read the plan for salvation, he asked for God's forgiveness and pledged his life to Christ. Randy went on to become an executive at Eastman Kodak Company. He joined the Gideons right after graduating from college and has served in four different states as a Gideon. He's also traveled around the world training other Gideons and continues to have an impact for Jesus as a member of Gideon's International. So, not only was Randy an upstanding business leader, but he was also an outstanding witness for the Lord. And just think, guys, he was on his way to a pub when God put that Gideon in his path. You will be interested to know that we also have a means to help reach younger students in America. In fact, 80% of the scriptures we give to people are given to students from fifth grade through college. I really enjoyed, and I like this next program. It involves an in-school, peer-to-peer distribution of the life book by Christian high school students to their classmates. Since 2010, over 29 million copies of the life book, which comes in two versions, either the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Mark, they have been provided to young Christians for distribution among their friends and peers. This way of distribution strengthens our long-standing program of placing the Word of God into the hands of young people. And guys, I can tell you, being a father, a grandfather, excuse me, of three young boys, I really appreciate it. This means the world to me, because our children need to hear the Word of God desperately. Gideons in the Philippines have been told by teachers there that the testament that those children are given may be the only book that they will ever be able to call their own. Some teachers even use these testaments to teach to read and write. And although nearly 1 million students in the Philippines were given a New Testament, thousands were missed. Thousands. The need is great, and the need is all around the world. Currently, the Gideons distribute between 67 million and 80 million scriptures around the world annually, meaning that we hand out roughly two of these every second, everywhere around the globe. So even though two people receive scripture every second, basically every time your heart beats, the need is even greater. So in case you're wondering, how can I help? Well, here are a few ways to lend a hand. Most importantly, guys, we need your prayers. Please pray for the Gideons. Pray that the Lord will provide open doors for us to reach more people and for the funds to purchase more scripture to spread God's word. Next, if God leads you to do so, please consider giving to the Gideons. These little pocket testaments cost us about $1.61 apiece. So for a very small investment, you can help place God's word in the hands all around the world. A donation of $160 can mean 100 of these will be handed out to folks that are desperate to read God's Word. If that's the way you would be willing to participate to help the Gideons, please see Perry or I after the service. You can also donate scriptures anytime through sending the Gideon cards. I notice you have a display in your lobby back there. Those cards are absolutely beautiful. They don't cost you anything, and you can send them in memory of someone, to tell someone you're thinking of or praying for them, or just congratulations. And you can make a donation to the Gideons as part of that. And they're beautiful cards. I'm glad to see you have a rack back there. And if you would like, you can become a prayer partner with us. You can sign up to be a friend of the Gideons. We have some information on that as well in the back. And you can just help the Gideons out by making a monthly donation on the amount of your choice. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." So finally, if you're a business or a professional man who would like to associate with other like-minded men to strengthen your witness to your employees, customers, family, and church members, please see us after the service, and we'll give you some more information. We would love to serve alongside of you. So, if your heart is as my heart, then take my hand, and let's all share God's word together to everyone, everywhere. Pastor Balcher, I would like to thank you for this opportunity to speak a little bit about the Gideons. And I want thank everyone in the congregation for allowing me to have a few moments of your time. It has truly been a blessing to be here and a privilege. I thank you very much on behalf of the Deacons.
I appreciate the report you brought us, and it sounds like the Gideons are still busy doing their job. And they are actually a supplement to what the church does, because they're distributing the Word of God, and that's important. I'm not sure we value the Scriptures as highly as we should. Always. The Gideons see people who would give their lives to have a Bible. And most of us probably have more than one Bible in our homes, but it doesn't seem to excite us always. And I just wonder why the Gideons are so committed to distributing Bibles. And I wanted to go back to the past just for a minute. The Bible, of course, was not written in English. You all know that. I heard somebody say one time, if the King James Version was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. The Apostle Paul never saw the King James Version. But the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek, and a little bit of Aramaic. So it wouldn't do any good for us to have the original copies of the Scriptures, because we couldn't read them. In the year 382, a man named Jerome was commissioned to translate the Scriptures into Latin. And this took a long time, but it eventually got done. And they called it the Latin Vulgate. Now, the problem with the Vulgate is that the common people didn't speak Latin. Therefore, they couldn't read it. And the only way they had to know what God said was for learned professionals in the church to tell them. But there were a few people who felt the Scriptures should be translated into languages the common people could read for themselves. And of course, we're most interested in English. So let me tell you just a couple things about the fuss that this stirred up in England, where they speak English, and how a few brave people were affected. There were a lot of people affected, but I'll just pick out a couple of them. John Wycliffe is one. He was an Oxford University scholar. He was first to translate the Scriptures into English. He lived in the 1300s. Now, he didn't know Hebrew or Greek, so he just translated the Latin version into English. So it was a translation of a translation. But this blasphemous act, making the Bible readable in another language, made him a criminal. Wycliffe escaped punishment by dying before they could punish him. But a lot of his Oxford colleagues were burned alive for his sin. And even 40 years after his death, Wycliffe's bones were dug up, burned, and thrown into a river. So great was his transgression. But his translation of the Bible remained quite popular. A century later, there was a linguist named William Tyndale who translated the Scriptures from the original languages, Greek and Hebrew. But this was still a serious no-no. He was declared a lawbreaker too. But Tyndale said he wanted the Word to reach the eyes of all women, Scots and Irishmen, even Turks and Saracens, and especially the farm worker at the plow and the weaver at the loom. Tyndale managed to translate most of the New Testament into English. He didn't live to finish the work. He took a break to brush up on his Hebrew before he tackled the Old Testament, and he was captured by the king's troops, strangled, and burned at the stake for his sin. It's ironic, however, that the king who sentenced William Tyndale to death was James I, who in 1611 would convene a committee of 47 scholars to translate the entire Bible into English. The King James Version became the most popular book in England. But since that time, there have been many translations of the Bible because more manuscripts have been found to be more certain about the text, and the English language has changed dramatically. You and I don't talk the way people in Shakespeare's day did. And even the King James Version, although the language is beautiful, is sometimes hard for 21st century believers to understand. But the Bible has changed lives in the past, and it still changed lives today. I have a little short Gideon story. I think I heard this from a Gideon speaker, and these fellows down here in the front row probably heard it a lot of times. But there was a Gideon crew that visited Ukraine a few years ago, which has become quite a popular news item now, the Ukraine. But their ship had docked, and they passed out Bibles for a few weeks, and they'd seen God doing wonderful things. People were so hungry for the Bible. But now they're ready to leave, and as the ship was getting ready to leave port, the gangplank was pulled up, and they were just getting ready to release the mooring ropes when a lady came running down the dock and yelling out to them in Russian. Well, most of them didn't speak Russian, but they had a translator. And the translator said she was saying that she just heard that the ship was there, and she had come from a great distance to get a Bible. So somebody ran down in the ship to get a Russian Bible, and they brought it up, and they were able to drop it into her hands just as the ship was pulling away. And she fell on her knees, and she kissed the Bible over and over again. She just overjoyed that she finally had a copy of the Bible for herself. And that's the feeling when people really treasure the Word of God. It means something to them. And I'm just wondering, how important is the Bible to you? How important is the message of salvation to you? How important is the Savior who offers that salvation at the cost of his own life? And how important is eternal life to you? These are questions I cannot answer. Only you can answer those. But we're going to sing our hymn of invitation, which is number 454, just the first and the last verses. And if there's a need in your heart to surrender to Jesus, we'd invite you to come. No turning back. thank Brother Klein and Brother Perry too for being here this morning and sharing all this information with us. And they will be at the door as you leave, so that if you want to contribute, they'll make it easy for you. And don't think of it as contributing money. Think of it as sharing in the work they're doing, because it's exactly what it is. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for giving us this stirring glance into the work of the Gideon Society. It makes us aware that service to our Savior is not only done in a church building, but anywhere our daily lives take us and beyond. We thank you for allowing us to assist the Gideons with our offerings, with our prayers, as they extend the mission of the church beyond its walls to where people actually hunger to hear the blessed word of salvation. We ask your blessing on all those who serve our Savior, for we pray in his name. Amen.